Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Well, we're going to close out 1 Timothy tonight. And some will be glad, but I'm going to go right into 2 Timothy, so some will be sad. This is Creed and the Conduct of the Church from Paul to young Timothy. I think it's applicable today. If we do what this book says, I'm telling you, things go a lot better than when we do what it go against what it says. It's just life is best when we're following the word of the Lord. This is so simplistic tonight. It needs no exposition. You can just read this and know what it means. So I may do a lot of reading and not as much commenting on the verses. But then I say that. Pat says I say that, and then I'll talk for 15 minutes on every verse. There's 21 verses, and we'll be here till Walmart closes. But I'm going to open us in prayer, and we're going to begin this thing tonight and see how the Lord leads. Father, we love you. We thank you for allowing us to be in the house of God again. We thank you for the promises. We thank you that you remind us, Lord, of where you brought us from, where you're taking us to. Thank you for the reading of the scripture tonight to open the service. We read of a place called heaven. We thank you for this word. I pray you'd fill my mouth, guard my tongue. I tried to pray and glean and study and meditate on the word this afternoon, Lord. So if you'll do it, it'll be done. Use me for your glory. We ask it in the King's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. This is, as I said, by now you've figured it out that it's the creed and the conduct given to Timothy. He's a young preacher, and Paul is not too far from leaving here from this time. Maybe a year plus till his last letter in 2 Timothy. Some debate that one way or another, but it's not far off. It isn't far off. You don't know when you sing your last song, give your last testimony, driven your last car. You don't know. We don't know that. We don't know. But that will occur in your life. You keep living, that will occur in your life. Say, are you bringing me down? Well, not if you're going to heaven. It just gets better. Mike Blanton says all the time, heaven can't be that bad. I mean, we pray to keep people out of it, and it can't be that bad, you know. I believe it's real, don't you? I'm going there, aren't you? You know that if you're going there, I'm looking for, first, the one that outshines them all, I'm looking for Jesus. But in the glow of the Lord, out there amongst the numbers and multitudes, there's a little group of we got a little group, Ernie, known each other all our lives. Our little group's out there somewhere. I don't believe it'll be hard to find them. Let us, as many servants, that word's the same as slaves right there, and you'll find it in the context, as are under the yoke that count their own masters. That gives you an idea who it's talking about. And do you know that I read that in the Roman Empire, there was slaves made up 50% of their population. That's a whole bunch of slaves. And this is during that time, might I add. So let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Not talking about saved slaves or servants working for somebody that's unsaved, and they do better than anybody else for the glory of God. Because they're flying the flag, I'm a Christian, and we ought to outshine them all. I mean, I'm not saying don't take a break when everyone else takes a break, but don't be a habitual complainer either. Be glad you got a job. I worked with a guy one time, and he complained. If it didn't matter what happened, he complained. Finally, I had it up to here with him. And I turned around and I said, are you a Christian? And he said, well, you was there the night I got saved. You know I am. I said, you don't act like one. He said, how one's supposed to act. And before I thought, I said, act like me. Oh. The devil said, now, big boy, what are you going to do with that? And any time I seen that guy, it was pearly white. I was happy, happy, happy. I'm telling you. And you know what? On some of my worst days, guess who come walking by? We don't want to blaspheme that his doctrine. He's saying, look, God's going to bless you in what you do. So let's act like it when we're on the job. Now, they were talking about people that are bond servants, slaves. I mean, this isn't very pleasant work they're doing. He's saying, give them honor. That means the boss you don't like, do good for him. And then, look at this. And they that have believing masters, now it just gets worse. Well, it gets better. But let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, share this, Timothy. So and notice this, believing masters, so there was still a slave, but the slave and the master both were believers. So that tells me this, that some held a little higher position than others, but God's no respecter of person. And he's telling the slave, look, just because his master's saved, don't take advantage of his good nature. Amen. Do you work like you're supposed to? As a matter of fact, do better. Do better. If they hire you for 8 hours, do 8 hours. Do 8 hours and 15 minutes. And without complaint. So, and it won't go unnoticed. It will not go unnoticed. Nobody does that now. 15-minute breaks or 35 or 40. Quitting time is at 5 o'clock. And everybody knocks off about 4:15. Going to kill that last hour and 15 minutes. Right? We got to get ready to quit. I've worked a job. I know. I've not always done this. I was bivocational. If any man, now watch this. Here, look. If any man teach otherwise. Look. Now, holding that in the context of this. Supposed to work for you, master. Without complaint and grumbling. Don't blaspheme. Do it. Whatsoever you take upon your heart to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If you don't do it that way, then just don't do it at all. And if you're working for a believing master, don't take advantage of him. And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, here's the reason he does it. He's proud. What does God do to the proud? He does. He resists. He's proud, knowing nothing. Don't you love them people that don't know nothing and they think they know everything? But doting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Here's what he said. Hey, don't have nothing to do with them people. From such withdraw thyself. You know, some of that mange might rub off on. You know what the mange is? Cause the hair to fall off your dog. Just withdraw yourself from that. I want you to notice something in verse 5 here. And here's supposing that gain is godliness. People measure success by possessions and how much money you have. And that's not success at all in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. He's going to tell us that in the next verse. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Some of the happiest people I know don't have two nickels to rub together, and they don't care. And they can't understand why everybody's got to have all this stuff to be happy. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food that's convenient for me. That's what Solomon said, and he's the richest man walking around at that time. He knew about it, knew what it'd do to you. But godliness with contentment. Are you content with what you got? I mean, some people get paid on Friday. They can't wait to get to Walmart and give it to somebody else and carry some kind of stuff home. They're going to put in a closet, not used for 6 months. I don't understand that. Right. Now, if it's a new bait casting reel you're going to use every week, hey, look here. Throw that in just for us, Brother Brantz. Godliness with contentment. Content with what I have. I can't think of one thing. If I had $1 million in the bank, I can't think of one thing I'd go buy right now. Not one thing. I got more suits. I picked out an old suit. This thing's got the knees wore out of it. I thought, that's a good sign. Your knees is wore out on your suit, but I didn't realize how worn out it was until I was sitting there where Big J is. Looked down, and the lights was real bright in here. I may have to retire this old girl, but it's been a good one. Content. Look what we done. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we ain't carried nothing out. The billionaire's family asked him when he died, said, "What did he leave?" And the lawyer said he left it all. Left it all. Our collections, our things. Isn't it bizarre what we do? We get stuff. Well, you got stuff. I mean, we stack it up, we polish it, we put it away. Brother Grover and I spent way too much time fishing 1 year, and we won our little club, Anglers of the Year and Big Fish of the Year. No, I got in the truck and was driving home and looked down at that coat and that piece of plastic laying there in the seat, and I'd been out of the will of God for a long time, and he convicted me sorely over that. He said, "What's that worth?" And you know who come to my mind? Dusty. I missed time with him, spending 3 nights a week on the river to get a piece of plastic and a coat with a fish on it. You know where it's at now? In the trash. Didn't mean a thing. Now, when I take a little bud fishing, it's not so we can get a piece of plastic and a coat. It's so I can be in the boat with him. Big boat, Pa. I can't wait to mash the gas and him go, "Go, go, go." That's what he does when you're in the car and mash the gas. We didn't bring anything into this world. We're not taking any of this junk with us. The only thing that's going to be waiting on us is what we've done for the cause of Christ. Amen. And it's stacked up on the other side, and some's going to suffer loss. It's going to be smoke and ashes. Here's what he said. I'm going to ask a question right here. This is not in a question form, but I want you to listen to this. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I'm going to say right now, if food and clothes is all it, if I was content with that, if I said that's what contented me, I'd be lying. Because I need a car to drive and a house to live in. You know, where's Paul when he's writing this? He don't have a house. You know what he's getting? And I don't know what his daily diet was, but I'm assuming it was pretty meager. And he's eating light, and he's got something on his back, and here's what he said. I'm content. He He had the Lord, and that's all he worried about. Kind of shows us how important things are, doesn't it? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That means complete destroyed, completely destroyed. Now, we read that, and I'd say the majority of us in this room are thinking, well, I'm not rich. But go down to Honduras or some of these places, some of these guys go and look at them kids and where they live and what they do and digging through garbage heaps and all this stuff. And you know what we'd have to confess before God tonight? We'd have to say, we are filthy rich. Rich. So let's keep that in mind and being careful that it not be a snare unto us, and we not turn into hurtful lust and not be drowned in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That's why men want nations to destroy other nations. It's for their riches. They want their real estate. They want their goods. They want their stuff. So they'll kill them for it. Isn't that sad? Men been killing men for a long time. It started out, the first two brothers. I think these were twins, by the way. But the first two is irrelevant, whether they were or not, but I think they were. And the first two brothers, Cain killed Abel because he was jealous of her. Been killing them ever since. It's the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's a lot of good Christians fall prey to this very thing. To this very thing. When is enough enough? Say, well, I just want a little more, preacher. Are you content? Have we got enough? But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. That means enduring. The word patience there is speaking to this. Endurance. And meekness. That's power under control. Watch this. This is a military term right here. Fight the good fight of faith. Jude said it like this, contend for the faith. There are some things worth fighting for. But it has to be done in faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So it has to be done in faith, but there is times that it's required that you fight the good fight of faith. There's Jack, and I nearly said his last name, out in California. Truder? You know who I'm talking about. The church that's been out of church for a while. He's begging the governor to let them back into church. They're having church outside. Of course, it's warm enough where they can do it out there, but it's still a great inconvenience on bad weather days, and it's not like being in the house of God. Who?
John MacArthur.
No, not MacArthur, the other one. MacArthur went back in. Jack something. Anyway, what are you saying? Well, he's fighting a good fight of faith. He didn't quit having church. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, there's a whole lot of people watching you here, son. They're watching you. They're watching me. They watch us. They're watching on the internet. They're watching us at the workplace. They're watching us drive down the road. There was a something that irritated me greatly one morning. the devil has a way of doing that. My fuse isn't near as short as it used to be, but it's still not long enough. And so I was up here at the traffic light, and finally the light turned green, and I hammered down. And one of the kids was in the car with somebody comes to our church behind us. I had no idea. They said, "Well, Brother Mike's in a hurry to get to church, ain't he?" Yeah, I was mad. I know I'm preaching to good people that never get out of the way, but somebody's watching. It's before many witnesses that somebody's watching you. It's usually the one that you don't want to see you. It's got their eyeball peeled on you. How should a Christian act? Act like me. I wouldn't have spun my tires in front of that guy. I give thee charge in the sight of God. Here's another military term. He's given charge. In the sight of God who quickeneth. He makes all things alive. Right. Nothing lives without God's hand. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, do you remember what he said before Pontius Pilate? He said, Pilate said, "Speakest thou not unto me in John? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee or release thee?" Jesus said, "Thou couldst have no power at all except it was given thee from on high." Freaked Pilate out, but that's a good confession. Paul said that was good. "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing," I really like that word right there, "of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which in times past, or which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate," in other words, the Most High, the Supreme, the Sovereign, "the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light." He's the only one who got himself up.
That's right.
And he is in a glorified body. He got himself up in a glorified body. He's the only one that could do that. "Hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto." Now, I really contemplated this, meditated on this verse this afternoon. "Whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." And my mind went back to when Moses went up on the mount. And I'm hoping the Lord will give me a message on this, on the veil. And when Moses had been close enough to God, there was such a shine from God that it was glowing on Moses. And when Moses come down to talk to him, he had to put a veil up over his face. I guess he hurt their eyes. I don't know. Tone it down a little, Moses. Put a veil over your face. Tozer said, We gain the glow, and I'm paraphrasing what he said. This is not his exact words, but this is what it meant. We gain that glow when we get close enough to him. Isn't that good? He's the only one that hath immortality dwelling in the light. Now we're going to have that. When he shall appear, we shall. A plus. "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." I'm going to hit this one more time, and I'm going to be done with it. "But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Now let's come back to that just briefly. "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded." That could be us. We live pretty good. I'm going to ask a question. I'd like a survey right here. This is more of an academic setting as opposed to a message really tonight. But how many in here would confess that you're living better right now than you did as a child growing up? That is the far majority. Now, I'm not saying we didn't have what we needed growing up. I'm just saying I push buttons and things happen. I'm not splitting any wood, Tim, or carrying out any ash bucket. I'm not milking a cow at 6 o'clock in the morning. She didn't know if the time changed or not. Just things are good. My refrigerator is full. And if there's not in my fridge what I want, you know what I do? I go get it, Brother Dennis. Oh, yeah. I think I'd like to have this. Just go get it. But don't get the attitude, Mike, because you can do all these things and the Lord's blessed you like he has. Now, I'm not saying that you would, a lot of people would say that I live in poverty compared to them, but they'd be wrong. They'd be wrong. But we can't become high-minded because we have these things and somebody else doesn't have them. Because it's God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow returning. So that means what he'd give to me, give to Jay, or he'd give to Mark, or he'd give to any one of you. He'll give that. If he gives it, there's no respect for a person. There it is. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So they're kind of hard on the rich people here tonight. No. No, he's just telling us what to do and how to be. Don't let it become. I read a story. They said this one guy was such a miser, he starved to death counting his money. He could have had anything he wanted. And he was obsessed with the money that when they found the old man, he is dead, and he had stacks of money around. I thought, you know, he's just stupid is what he is. What you think? That's kind of stupid. You can't fix that, by the way. You can change ignorance, but the stupid is that they do good and that they be rich in good works. There it is. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That means to share. I read a little poem this afternoon. It said this: do your giving while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. It's pretty good, isn't it? Then you know where it goes. So is there anything wrong with money? No. D.L. Moody would show up at this same guy's house over and over. And he said, Moody, why do you always come to me when you need money? He said, because you have it. You have the money, and I need it, and it's not for me personally, and I'm doing the Lord's work, so how about giving it up? And he would always write him a check. So Moody goes to his house one time, and he felt so bad about asking him for this so many times. When he opens the door and he sees Moody standing there, Mr. Moody, come in. How much do you need? Moody says half of what he really needed. The man goes into his office or his study. Moody fell on the floor, weeping, confessing to God, Lord, I'm sorry that I've sold you short. You know that's just half of what I really need. But I felt so bad about always asking this brother for the money. He said, forgive me, Lord, for not asking for what I need. The guy comes out. He said, Moody, I don't know why. He said, but I was about to write that check and I just doubled the sum. Now take it and be gone. Moody took the sum, said, thank you, Lord, and hit the door. That's how God works. What is this? What is this? Well, that's that do good. They're rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We can become guilty as anyone in the room. We can become obsessed with temporary things, situations, sickness, possessions, whatever it might be. Anger, animosity, actions in our own lives, just whatever it might be. We can become possessed with these things. I'm telling you, these are temporary things. We need to, the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Yes. Look what he said. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And then he gives him some great advice right here. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That's the knowledge of things that is, but the one that knows all things is God. He made it all. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee, amen. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that cometh to him must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There it is. Here's what you do, Timothy. Keep that which is committed to you, trust. You know what the Lord has done for us here? First Free Will Baptist Church. He has committed a host of things to our trust. It's the watch care of the church. Primarily, that falls on Brother Randy and myself and trickles on down to the laity. Watch care of the church. The care of the churches. Or the church, our church. And then we've got our young people, and I'm telling you, it's crucial. He has trusted us with these. Isn't that good? So he has trusted us with a lot of things, and he expects us to keep what he's trusted us. So the devil comes out and throws some snares and tries to bring some vain babblers in front of you. I've got guys that not so much anymore. I've been around long enough now that most of them just leave me alone. But especially in the early days as pastor of this church, if they see me, they had to confront me on the fact that I pastored a Free Will Baptist church. I never heard such foolishness in my life. One guy chased me out of a doctor's office one day in a parking lot now, saying, "I want your doctrine. I want your doctrine. I thought you were just coming to my church. I'll give you my doctrine." But here's what I told him. I said, "Friend, I don't know anything save Christ and him crucified. What you going to do with that?" He said, "Well, I can't say nothing about that." I said, "I'll see you later." Got in the truck and said, "I hope I don't ever see him again." Tired of that foolishness. That's what he said. That's what I was thinking, Brother Junior. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. They gender strife. That's what Paul had. We'll get into that a little later. That's what they do. So this wasn't very productive tonight, preacher. It will be if we take this and put it in our heart and live by this right here. Don't get too high-minded because of how we live. Let's don't forget. Let's don't get above our raising. I'm afraid a lot of folks got above their raising. God's good. He's been good to us. He's been good to you. He's good. Come get us a song, Brother Newt. Lead us in a verse and chorus or something here. Somebody might need to pray. You may need to pray with someone. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.